Hello, welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. Happy holidays. It is a Christmas Eve edition of the End Zone Podcast. Our final podcast of, well, not our final podcast of the year, because I'm going to try to bring my podcasting equipment with me on vacation and get a podcast out on the 30th on Black Monday and talk about some of those games and some coach firings. But yeah, man, it is, it's 10:15 a.m. here. I'm still kind of waking up. I'm with Chris Castain. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. How you been?
I'm good. I'm ready for
Christmas
to get here. Yep, and then I'm going out of town on the 28th, so ready for that to get here.
pretty cool. Pretty busy time of year for me. There's a lot going on. A lot of things to go to, you know.
What'd you get me for Christmas, Chris?
I don't know. What'd you get me?
I got you.
We're both struggling on this. This is my one.
I got you. Game Pass.
I got you an appearance on the show.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Well, let's get
into football. Broke this year.
This chocolate milk is tasty. So, Packers-Vikings last night. I know you didn't get a chance to watch. Packers offense was still a little bit slow, but they got the ground game going. Aaron Jones was awesome last night. He had two rushing touchdowns, over 150 yards rushing. The Packers turned the ball over three times, but the Vikings still only scored 10 points. That's how bad this offense was. And Kirk Cousins, this was probably his worst game of the entire year. Chris, he was pretty awful. I believe he was like 5 for 15 in the first half alone for only like 60
I saw
yards.
The stat lines last night. It looks like he was 16 for 31 in the game, all in all.
And he was,
but quite frankly, based off the stats, everything was Aaron Jones.
Yeah, he dominated that game. Aaron Rodgers didn't look a lot better. They lack a vertical passing attack right now. They're kind of a dink and dunk offense right now, the Packers.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, kind of concern. I think the Packers are the one team where if they were in the wild card round, I would not see them advancing past the wild card round. And if they somehow got to the division, got the bye, I think they'd lose in the divisional round.
Well,
honestly, I don't see this team winning a single playoff game. I just don't think they're that good.
Well, it depends on who they were to end up playing. If you're telling me they're going to end up playing Philadelphia, then they're probably got a good chance of winning.
I legitimately think Philadelphia could beat them.
Right now, they're so injured, though. They're finding people, though.
I don't know if you saw any of that Dallas game.
I did see a little bit of it.
People are starting to emerge for Philadelphia. Miles Sanders is really good. This Greg Ward guy is pretty good. Yeah. And Dallas Goedert had a great game as well.
And, of course, Philadelphia makes it because, I mean, there's a possibility they could lose to the Giants. I don't think it happens, but – even Dallas, whoever comes out of that division, I don't think the Packers.
Both teams could beat the Packers.
I don't know. Dallas is something else. I mean, we'll talk about them when we get to that game. But they're just not. I don't know. They're not. It's not like they're injured. They're just not good.
Right.
That team's hard to describe.
So where are you at with the Packers? And you think they're a legitimate threat in the NFC?
No, I do not. But I don't. The only teams I see them beating is either Philadelphia or Dallas. I mean, of course, unless there was a rematch somehow between them and the Vikings, I don't think the Vikings would beat the Packers. But just because, for one, we just saw them beat them pretty handily, and I think the Packers have a pretty decent defense. I don't know. I can go by scoreline, but that doesn't describe defense played last night.
Right.
So, but based off of what I've seen, I think that the Packers will beat the Vikings again in a wild card round, because it would have to be a wild card round. It would probably be the Packers getting the 3 seed, the Vikings getting the 6 seed, which is probably going to happen, honestly. I see that's more likely than not.
I think if Dalvin Cook doesn't get healthy, this is kind of it for the Vikings. Not having him in this game was huge. And they're a completely different team when they can't run the ball.
Yeah.
And the Packers completely shut down their running game. Their leading rusher was Matt Boone, who only had 28 yards on the ground. Was a pretty pathetic night all
that's
in all.
That's pretty bad. That's not pretty bad. That's really bad.
Yeah. They could not move the ball on the ground. It was a problem in that game. And I just don't think either of these teams are getting past the first round of wherever they're placed. I think both these teams are kind of one and done.
Yeah. Hold on one second. I'll take a phone call.
Okay. Let me pause this really quick. All right, we're back after Chris had to take a phone call. Very unprofessional of him.
But, oh, my gosh. I had to get stuff set up for Chris's dinner.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard there was some pigs in a blanket talk.
Yeah.
It's going to be – I feel like it's going to be a good dinner, a good Christmas dinner. We can move on from this game because – I don't think either one of these teams is making it that deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, let's just put it this way. They're not making it to the NFC Championship, and that's really what matters.
Right. Let's start. Sunday, Dolphins-Patriots.
Oh, my gosh.
This game is if the Patriots win, they lock up the bye. So, more or less, this is a playoff game for the Patriots. Because if they win this game, they lock up a bye and they automatically advance to the divisional round. If they don't, they have to play someone in the wild card round and anything can happen.
Yeah.
So, that said, I know it's the Dolphins, but the Dolphins have played well the last half of the season. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is low-key playing like a top 15 quarterback right now. He has had some absolutely tremendous games lately. Is there any chance that the Dolphins win this game?
Oh, of course there is, because, I mean, they've been hot lately. I mean, they've been playing surprisingly hot considering what team they have. And the Patriots always play the Dolphins that last week of the year closer than it should be. Now, could this year be different because they don't have the bye wrapped up? Sure, it's possible, but I think it'll be a close game. Will the Dolphins win? I don't see it. I can't imagine them winning because the Patriots always step up when they need to, and I don't expect anything different on Sunday than any other game that matters for the Patriots. So. Yes and no. I see it being close. No, I don't see the Dolphins winning. So
pick a score for this one.
I think it's going to be a little higher scoring, surprisingly higher scoring. But I have the Patriots 31-21.
Okay. I think I'd take the Patriots a little lower scoring, Patriots 28, Dolphins 24.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair because I could definitely see it. Now, and I'm saying the Dolphins have been hotter on offense than they have on defense, of course. So that's why I say the Patriots will score in the 30s.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly a reasonable expectation, seeing as the Bengals just marched on this Dolphins defense.
They scored 35 points,
It's great. That game was crazy. We talked about this on yesterday's pod with Jonders a little bit, but it is crazy they came back in that game. They came back. They basically scored 19 points in like 5 minutes.
I was going to say, it was like in the fourth quarter. I looked at the scoreline. It was 35-12. About a half an hour or so, I looked back and it's 35-all. I'm like, oh my gosh, going into overtime.
Yeah, that was one of honestly the craziest games of the year. Andy Dalton looked great, probably his best game all season. And he's kind of auditioning to be the starter somewhere else. So when he plays the Browns this week, I think that the Bengals are going to win this game, Chris, and I think this is going to spell the end of Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. I think the Bengals get not only a win here, I think they get a resounding win. Joe Mixon is playing at the top of his game right now. The Browns' offense is a mess right now. They were terrible against the Ravens. They only scored in garbage time, basically. And they the Browns can't really stop anyone right now. They've been an awful defense after losing Myles Garrett. I think the Bengals honestly run away with this one. I think this is a 10-plus point win for the Bengals this
week. Oh, goodness. I see the Cleveland's favored by 3, but to me that means nothing, absolutely nothing. The Browns have way too much talent on offense to screw this up, though. And they have.
But they will. The track record shows they will. They will screw it up.
And I don't – there's a certain extent where there's so much – you have so much talent that you – like the Browns do, the Browns in this circumstance, how do you screw it up the way they are? You have Nick Chubb that's rushed this year for almost 1,500 yards. Like, usually teams would – with a running back that's rushed that many yards, usually they're doing better than the Browns are. Not in this case, though. And then you have Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. It's dumbfounding to me how they've messed this up. But going back to the game, I think this is a – Freddie Kitchens is coaching for his job because I don't see how he makes it into the next year if he loses this game. You lose to almost probably the worst team in the NFL record-wise. And at this point, I can say record-wise matters because, well, you play 15 games. Your record says what you are. So if they lose this game, I think all hell's going to break loose in Cleveland.
The Browns have never showed up for a game. They have not showed up for a single game this year. They've been outcoached in every single game they've played this year, even their wins. And I don't think they're going to show up against the Bengals. I think Freddie Kitchens has lost the team. And the best possible scenario for Browns fans, I think, is the Bengals winning. Because if the Browns win, I legitimately think Jimmy Haslam's going to say he doesn't want to fire a coach a year in. And stick with Freddie Kitchens. So, Browns fans, if you want what's best for your organization, lose and get rid of Freddie Kitchens because he's just clearly not the guy for the job.
Well, and we'll get into this a little bit later with another coach that might be on the hot seat. But with Freddie Kitchens, I don't see this improving next year. You have to look at the team if you're the general manager or the owner and say, does this look like it's trending up or trending down? And to me, if I'm looking at it as a fan of football, and this is trending down just based off of everything we've seen and how much talent is on that offense. It's just inexcusable.
Meanwhile, the Bengals are finally locked in for the number one overall pick and most likely Mr. Joe Burrow. I don't watch a lot of college football, but I don't think I've been more excited for a college quarterback than I am for Joe Burrow.
I tell you, that LSU team's so much fun to watch. So, I've seen quite a few LSU games. And I thank goodness I missed the SEC championship because it was ugly. but I was going to say, I think Joe Burrow will ultimately help Cincinnati, but Cincinnati next year has to have a decent year. They can't. I don't think they can go 1-15 again and say that their coach.
Right. Yeah, Zach Taylor has not been impressive this year.
Nope.
And that it. Granted, he hasn't had a ton of talent, but I mean, this team last year didn't have AJ Green for most of the year. They were their top two wide receivers didn't really change this year, and last year they were at least a 5-win team, right? So
yeah,
it just seems like they've regressed a little bit under Taylor, which is a little bit weird.
Which I have to say, in years past, talking about the Bengals, they've been good, but I think the coaching was underrated, because Zach Taylor this year hasn't done anything to be impressive whatsoever, Marvin Lewis was he wasn't a great coach, but he was a good coach because and this year's proven it.
Yeah, so that's that for that game. The Jets and the Bills are locked into their playoff seeding. To me, yeah. I think this is a game where the Bills will play their starters the first half and then they'll bench them in the second half.
Yeah, I don't see much coming out of this game at all because of that. And the Bills are already pretty much locked into that five seed. They may be locked totally. I'm not 100% sure. Do you know if they're locked 100% in to that five seed?
Yeah, they're locked 100% in.
Okay, I think nobody's better than eight. Nobody has more than eight wins, except for maybe the Titans. But talking about the Bills, I don't think this game won't matter. I think the Bills will still win just because the Jets are just bad right now. They've looked better lately than they did the first half of the season, but I still think the Bills win, even if they start their starters just one half.
I think here's a take I have, and you can say if you agree or not. I think Adam Gase saved his job last week, and I know that sounds bad, but I feel like Jets ownership is going to look at that win and say, hey, we beat a playoff caliber team, and they fit after starting 1-7. They have finished the season now. If they won this game, it'd be 6-2, right? Because they'd finish at like 7-9. So,
let's see.
Am I wrong on that?
5-2. If they win this game, it'll be 6-2. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's kind of similar to your situation in Atlanta, and we'll get to that later. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like Adam Gase may have saved his job down the stretch here.
I didn't think Adam Gase's job was ever. The Jets are kind of weird when it comes to firing coaches. Todd Bowles never really did anything past his first season. I think he had a winning record that first year at 9-7, and they kept him on for almost 3 years. So Adam Gase, I don't think, will be any different. He might not make it as long because I just don't see the Jets as ever being a good team under Adam Gase. I don't think he ever should have gotten the job. And that's really what I think about that. But I don't think that saved the job or hurt him. Well, of course it didn't hurt him. It wouldn't have ever hurt him, but you know what I mean. I don't think it helped him, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
What's going to help him is the fact that if he wins this week, if he can say they had a strong second half of the season, he's going to have a similar argument as the Falcons, Dan Quinn, which we'll talk about that a little later. A little different scenario, but I feel like he's going to make the argument, well, we went 6-2, and he could make the argument. I can't say he will. He can make the argument saying that they went 6-2 in the second half of the season, that maybe that's some momentum going into the next season. We'll see.
The Bears and the Vikings. We talked about the Vikings a little bit earlier. For the Bears, I have a question for you.
Yep.
To you, this December, it's been a good month for Mitchell Trubisky. It has been, outside of that game Sunday night, it has been a pretty good month for Mitch Trubisky. As I pull up his stats here really quick, he threw, over the past 4 weeks, he's thrown for 338 yards, 244 yards, 334 yards, 157 yards, and seven total touchdowns. Although he did throw four interceptions during that stretch as well. Has he done enough for the Bears to stick with him next year, or is this perhaps the final game of the Mitch Trubisky era for Chicago?
It will not be the final game of the Mitch Trubisky era, because the Bears don't have, unless they can pick up a quarterback through free agency, how are they going to pick one up? First-round pick. They have a late second-round pick. It's going to be impossible almost to find a decent quarterback that they're willing to stick behind past the second round. Not impossible, because there are quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, of course, Tom Brady, everybody knows he was a seventh-round pick. There are quarterbacks, but it's just few and far between. And I don't think the Bears will make a quarterback change this year. Now, next year, that's a different discussion. But this year, I think he's safe just based off of that.
All right. I tend to think they might move on from him because I do think they're going to have an option to. But I don't know, man.
Cam Newton, maybe?
Yeah, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton. I think Derek Carr is not going to be a Raider next year. Phillip Rivers doesn't sound like he's returning to the Chargers. There are going to be a ton of quarterbacks that are free agents this offseason.
Well, let me just – I see – I will go through at least two or three of those. Cam Newton, I don't think, would be much better than Mitchell Trubisky. Andy Dalton, I think he's another – he might be slightly better, but – you have to make a move that's good enough that you can say, well, I am significantly better this year because I have this quarterback. And I just don't think anybody on the market right now is that guy. Except for maybe Phillip Rivers if he leaves from his Chargers.
I mean, if Andy Dalton got an offensive coach like Matt Nagy and
– we don't know.
And some actual weapons around him, like people forget when Andy Dalton is surrounded by talent like those 2015-16 Bengals teams, he can perform like a top 10 quarterback.
But even then, he's still in the prime of the Bengals back in that day. He still lost in the games that mattered. He lost under the lights.
Maybe a change of scenery changes that.
Maybe so. I mean, and that's possible. I can't say. That's why I said I don't really know, because we haven't seen it yet, and we haven't seen him do that in a couple of years. So we'll have to wait and see. But he would, in the pecking order, would probably be Phillip Rivers first. That would be the ideal option. Maybe, but he had, I don't know. He hasn't looked as good this year. Second would be Andy Dalton. Third, I would say, would probably be Cam Newton. And Derek Carr is not a bad option either. I think he's a serviceable quarterback. So you could throw him in the mix even.
Yeah. Packers, Lions. I just cannot believe Matt Patricia is safe. I literally cannot believe that. And I get that you can blame it on injuries, but they've just been so terrible this year. I was watching the Lions-Broncos game on Sunday, and it occurred to me, if everything could go wrong for a single NFL team, it happened this year for Detroit. They got screwed over by bad calls. They lost close games. They never really got blown out by anyone. They blew leads. Their starting quarterback got hurt with a potentially career-changing injury. Did you see those reports? I was seeing reports that Matthew Stafford is strongly considering maybe retiring.
I did not see that, but that, I mean, that's possible.
So maybe I misread, but I just saw reports out there from various kind of beat writers that there was some real concern that he might not return next year. So it's just been a terrible seat. They lost Kerryon Johnson. It has been a legitimately terrible season for the Lions, and I think they need a new coach to kind of move on from this. But they've just shown 2 years in a row that they're not that good, and that I don't think Bob Quinn's working as the GM, and I don't think Matt Patricia's working as a head coach. I think they needed to fire him this year, and they didn't. So I was a little bit surprised by that.
Well, he's had time to change this and look at what the results are. And we shouldn't be surprised because Matt Patricia's been a head coach before and he failed. And this time he's failing again. Of course, if they give him another year, I guess I could half understand it. One, the Matthew Stafford injury. We'll see what happens there as far as if he retires or whatever. But I could see some reasons, but a team that's 3-11, I mean, even if you're starting a backup quarterback, it's still mind-boggling.
The Saints have everything to play for, so they will play their starters on Sunday. My take on yesterday's show was this. I'm going to say it again. Chris, you can say if you agree or not. I think for the first time all year, I felt confident about who the NFC's representative in the Super Bowl was going to be, and to me, it's the Saints. I think that there is no one in the NFC that is going to beat this team in the playoffs.
Unless it's San Francisco or Seattle, I don't think so. I really like Seattle right now, but the Saints seem like the favorites, even though they're probably not going to get the one seed because, well, the Packers and the 49ers are ahead of them. And if I remember right, Seattle, even if Seattle wins, they would get the one seed. But I could be wrong about that. So they're going to, of course, play their starters. I understand that. And this game is going to be over pretty fast, I think. I would take New Orleans by about 20 points if they played their starters the whole game. But the Saints are, of course, obviously they're – in time, they're probably the favorites to come out of the NFC.
So I wanted to read up really quickly on what has to happen for them to get the number one seed. They have to win at Carolina. Seattle has to beat San Francisco. Okay. The Packers have to lose to the Vikings or the Lions. So
That's
not going to happen.
So are
the Packers going to be the one seed?
That is definitely sounds like that's a possibility because
that's so weird because they are definitely not one seed material.
No,
the Packers are not a one seed. That is yes. So. I want to just touch on the Packers again. It's just their defense, right? Like their offense has been terrible for long stretches this season.
Yeah, pretty much almost the whole season, give or take. They had a few good games, like in the, I think, if I remember right, weeks 4-8 or something like that. But other than that, they've been very, very mediocre on offense. Their defense, though, it's looked like one of the best this year. Of course, I don't think – obviously, I don't think it's the best. I think we've seen talking about better defense. I think the Ravens' defense is probably better in the overall in the NFL. But their defense is too legit, and I guess that is why they're 12-3 right now. I think it's hard for me to say, and we'll talk about San Francisco and Seattle because that's probably the most important game on this docket besides Patriots-Bills. But it's shocking to me that we're talking about the Packers as a possible one seed. And honestly, and I say possible, I could go to say probable one seed, because I don't know if San Francisco is going to beat Seattle.
Right. The next game I want to talk about here is your team, the Falcons and the Buccaneers. I want to pick a score on this one, too. I'm going to pick this one because I think this is endlessly interesting. Jameis Winston has a chance to throw 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns in the same season, which would be crazy, and I'm highly rooting for that. But I think this game's honestly going to be a shootout. I think both these teams are going to drop 30-plus points, and this is going to be one of the best Week 17 games that means nothing. If the Falcons – so where are we at with Dan Quinn's job? Do you think he's safe, or do you think it's over for him?
Right now I think it's 50-50, because I think the Falcons the past 6 weeks, minus the Tampa Bay and New Orleans game, they've looked extremely good. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't impressed last week against the Jaguars. I thought the game could have been a little more of a blowout, or it should have been. But nonetheless, they got the win. It wasn't the best game, but they looked somewhat good. If it was me, I have to say I would probably keep Dan Quinn. The options right now that are available, I don't think would be any better than what they have now. And I think, obviously, if they were to go into next season and have the same identical results, he has to be fired. But I think you give him one more chance. I really do.
So if the
– what do you think? I don't know what you think.
I don't know, because it just depends on how Arthur Blank feels. If he values, like, current success over full-time success, like
– then he's going to keep his job.
Then he's going to keep it. But this team had really high expectations going into this year. I don't
– that's the problem.
Remembers, but, like, people expected this team to be contending for the division. And
they people expect this team to be contending for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and
– and that didn't happen.
You can blame injuries all you want, but the team was just a bad defense for the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It feels like this whole Dan Quinn experiment, it's gone on for what now, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
He's had a good run there. And I think if he were to be fired, he'd be scooped up by another NFL team to be a head coach again, because I don't think he's a bad head coach, but I think you need to change a life. I would move on from him.
Well, it's interesting because, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but I had read something the other day. It said Dan Quinn is similar to Jeff Fisher.
I don't quite agree with that. I mean, he's only had like 2 bad years.
Yeah.
He did lead this team to a Super Bowl.
That is true.
And one of the greatest, like, regular seasons of all time. Now, I get you could put a lot of that on Kyle Shanahan, but still, that team was really good.
And the defense, I mean, their defense was pretty good that year, too. It is hard to say that. And even though he's had some rough starts these last 2 years, he has made an impressive turnaround in the second half. It's not like, I don't know. Jeff Fisher had like 5-6 years of 7-9 or worse. So I don't agree with it, but it was an interesting thing that came across. I was like, huh. I was like, but I don't agree with it.
All right. The next game, Chiefs Chargers. The Chiefs are in. If they win this game, and the Patriots were to lose, they get that 2 seed. I think the Chiefs are sneaky dangerous right now. To me, they're the second team I'd expect to come out of the AFC. It'd go the Patriots first, then the Chiefs, then I think the Ravens, even though the Ravens have been extremely good, and we'll get to them in a second.
Yep.
I think that the Chiefs take care of business here, and I think this is the last game for Anthony Lynn for the Chargers. I think they fire him after this one.
Which is it's really unfortunate because last year he had a really good year, but I don't know if I necessarily think that they're going to fire him. I haven't seen any news on it.
It's the same team as last year, basically, and they didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point there, but I don't know. This team has been pretty bad this year. They've lost some close ones, but they've lost some blowouts too. But Anthony Lynn is still, even though considering that this year he hasn't been good, but in past years he's put out there a pretty good team. He got unfortunate his first year where they kept on losing those last second games for like the first five games, but otherwise he's had a pretty good tenure. I think they might give him a second chance just based off of – I haven't seen any news on it, so I don't base that off anything other than just my opinion.
I don't know. I feel like he's been there a long time, and they haven't – they've only had really 1 year of success under him. And
yeah,
they lose these extremely close games, and I just think that's a product of coaching. And if Phillip Rivers truly is gone, which it kind of sounds like he is, yeah, I think the organization might just want to start from scratch, new coach, new quarterback, yeah, new everything.
Now that's fine. I mean, if Phillip Rivers leaves, I can't. That's a different scenario. But I think if Phillip Rivers stays, I don't know. I think they might give another chance. They might give Anthony Lynn another chance.
Steelers, Ravens, game doesn't really matter. The Steelers could get in if they win and the Titans lose. But we'll get to that game later. I don't really want to talk about this one because it's backups versus backups, basically.
Yeah, I'll just give my pick. I'm thinking Steelers just because the Ravens are going to be playing their backups. It could go either way.
All right, let's do two games at once. The Eagles, the Cowboys. Who's going to win the NFC East?
The Eagles are probably going to win it because I like the Giants last week. The Giants look really good. I think Dallas will win.
No Dwayne Haskins for the Redskins, so yeah, I think that's a Dallas win.
I think that's definitely – it better be a Dallas win, which we can talk about coaching that one too. But with the Eagles, it's going to come down to Eagles-Giants. And it's tough. I like the Eagles to pull it out, though. I just think their defense is better than what the Giants played last week versus Washington.
Absolutely. I think the Eagles take care of it too, even though I could totally see the Cowboys getting in. Yeah. But I just think credit to Carson Wentz. Every single big game he has ever had to play in, he shows up. He never chokes under pressure. He always plays his best games in the biggest moments. And this is the biggest moment, and I think the Eagles are going to take care of it.
And I have to say about the Eagles, I've been impressed with what Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson have done with what they have, because they have had so many injuries this year. They've had some tough luck, and to do what they've done is just downright impressive. And now I do want to – of course, we got to talk about Jason Garrett in Dallas. I think this really matters as far as Jason Garrett keeping his job, because if Dallas misses, I think there's a 100% chance, 90% chance that Jason Garrett's gone.
I think he's already gone. I think unless they make it to the Super Bowl, he's a goner.
Well, and that's what I mean. They have to win this game, and then the Giants beat the Eagles, and then they need to win it at least. I could see it possible if they made it to the NFC Championship that if Jerry Jones was impressed, he would keep Jason Garrett. I would certainly hope not, because I don't think that he should. But I can see it's possible, but this is an important game for these two games are important for Jason Garrett. Although what I think is going to happen is I think Eagles win, Dallas wins, Jason Garrett loses his job.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like this is – and I don't know. If Jerry Jones doesn't move on from Jason Garrett, I never want to hear him complain ever again.
I agree.
I never want to hear him say, oh, well, we're too talented. I'm doing all the best. Well, Jerry, you should have fired your coach 4 years ago. And you still haven't yet. So that's on you, man. This isn't Jason Garrett's fault anymore. This is all Jerry Jones.
I mean, it is Jason Garrett's fault for losing, but it is Jerry Jones' fault ultimately because he runs the franchise.
Right. Cardinals-Rams, big story came out. I don't know if you saw this, but that major changes are coming to the Rams this offseason.
I saw the headlines, but I did not.
So apparently it. Wade Phillips is most likely going to get fired after this game. And there's talk about trading Todd Gurley to get some draft picks and some more cap room. And I don't think it's true, but I saw Aaron Donald. But I don't think they'd ever trade Aaron Donald. But
well, Todd Gurley, I could say, is a possibility. He hasn't been quite what people probably expected him to be this year. So I could say that is possible, but I don't see the possibility of Aaron Donald.
Yep. Yeah, that's about all I have for this game. Kyler Murray's looked good down the stretch. We talked about that a little bit Monday. The Raiders are still alive in the playoff hunt. If things really went their way, they could sneak in.
And
I'm taking the Broncos here, though. I think they finish out the season strong.
Honestly, I don't think it's that out of the realm of possibility that the Raiders might playoffs if they win, because they have to have the Texans have to win, the Ravens have to win, and then one of four other teams, like the Patriots.
No. It's the Colts have to beat the Jaguars.
The Colts have to beat the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to happen. I see two of those three things probably, or three of the four, because there was like four teams have to win too. Well, one of four teams is like the Patriots, the Bears.
No, the Patriots are not involved in this scenario at all.
I thought they were.
Reading.
Yeah.
No, it's only three things. It's they
because
have
Adam Schefter posts or something.
It's four things. It's they have to win, the Titans have to lose, the Steelers have to lose.
Oh, and okay.
The Colts have to lose.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
I guess
the Colts have to win.
Yeah, I have it up now. Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe that was the other day. I don't know. I did see something like that though last week. But anyway, other than that's besides the point. The Raiders have it's a realistic path to the playoffs. It's not like it's out of the realm of possibility that those four things happen. I think the Raiders will win because I just feel like they're going to be going out there with so much. I don't know what you really call it. Not confidence, but they're going to want to win it more than Denver's going to want to win it, I think. I think their want to win is going to overtake this game, and I think the Raiders win.
Yeah. I tend to think that Drew Locke will show up for this game. He wasn't awesome against the Lions. I think he needs to have a really good game to remove all shadow of doubt from Broncos fans who might want to draft a quarterback if there's a quarterback available. I do think the Broncos take care of business here just because it's in Denver, and I don't think they're going to lose at home. So
That's understandable.
The Titans and the Texans. I'll just say it. I know the Texans are going to play their starters, but I think the Titans are going to blow them out. I think the Titans are, for the first time ever, not led by Marcus Mariota. They are a fun team. Mike Vrabel, I think, is a good coach. He's going to have his team ready. They are going to come out and blow the doors off the Texans and get into the playoffs.
Well, this is the game that really is going to – I think come down to
who. This is the game of the day, in my opinion. I realize that 49ers Seahawks mean something in the NFC, but this is the game I would have put in primetime because this is the biggest game for the Titans in the past 3 years.
I think the 49ers Seahawks game was the, because it's for the one seed, that's why they put it there. And the Titans Texans is only to see if the Titans are going to make the playoffs or not. And the Titans are a pretty good team this year. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Titans are going to win it. And I don't think – because if the Titans lose, I think the Raiders probably make the playoffs. So, because I don't know if the Steelers are going to beat the Ravens, especially with Mason Rudolph out now for the year. So I'm going to take the Titans in this game. It's going to be – I think it'll be a close 7-point game.
All right. Colts Jaguars. All I'm gonna say, Doug Marrone, I think he's gone. Jacoby Brissett, I think he's gone. That's all I have for that game. The Jaguars are the worst team in football right now.
Give me the Colts.
Yeah. The 49ers and the Seahawks. I talked about this a lot with Jaundres yesterday, so I'll get your thoughts. But my overarching opinion here, Chris, is I think the 49ers are going to take this one.
I think it's going to be a close game, and I like what Seattle did signing Marshawn Lynch and Rob Turbin. I really like those moves, not necessarily because I think they're going to be the players they were back in 2015. That's not going to happen. I'm realistic there, but I still, in this game, I have to take the 49ers. I just feel like right now they're slightly better team, and I don't think they get beat again by Seattle, especially during the regular season, especially when the one seed's on the line.
All right. I just think that the Seahawks are hurt right now. They can't pass protect. I think Jimmy G has outplayed Russell Wilson the last 3 weeks. I know that's crazy to say, but
not necessarily.
I truly believe it. And I love Russell Wilson, and I love the Seahawks, but I think the 49ers take care of business here. I get it's in Seattle, but I think the 49ers, they would be – I looked this up. If they win this game, they would be the one seed. So, which would make more sense than the Packers being
– If they lose it, there'll be drama. If not, then – that's just a matter of what this comes down to.
Yep.
But I have the 49ers.
All right. I think that's it. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Chris. A very Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well and to the fans. Hopefully I'll be back sometime soon.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get you back maybe – Black Monday, maybe I can get you on again during the day or at night on Black Monday, and we can get something figured out for that, and then of course playoff preview coming up pretty soon, which I want you on as well. So we will be seeing a lot more of Chris here down the stretch as we have. You can follow him on Twitter at @ChrisC_01, right?
Yep, yeah.
You follow me on Twitter at @Eric18Utah. I don't do this a lot, but I would ask if you listen to the podcast, if you enjoy, please tweet at me. Let me know what you think. If you hated it, tell me why you hated it, and we'll look to make some changes. And yeah, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at @Eric18Utah. Give me a follow at @Eric18Utah and give the podcast a follow at @EndZonePod. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next week. Happy holidays.
Peace out, guys.
Follow us on Twitter at @EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.